Ave Maria, everybody. This is Father George, and we're here for the Life of the Soul. And tonight we're going to take a look at another aspect of the Four Last Things from Venerable Martin von Kochum's book of the same title, The Four Last Things. Let us say a prayer, Hail Mary, to Our Lady for guidance and protection and help. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Death, judgment, heaven, and hell. These are the four last things. They're very elementary and so important for the life of the soul. We must always keep our final end in our view. The four last things: death, judgment, heaven, or hell. Father Venerable Martin von Kochum tells us the universal, it's universal to fear death. Life is sweet, death is bitter. Why is death so unwelcomed? Well, the love of life and dread of death is inherent in human nature. All know that death is bitter, and the separation of soul and body cannot take place without inexpressible suffering. No one knows where he or she will go after death, or how he will stand in the day of judgment. For the separation of soul and body and the destiny after death, we need to explain this them more carefully so that those who are careless about sin in this life may be awakened, and that all of us will be prepared lest we are not watchful. We are all anxious about sickness in life, yet nothing is like death. A man can lose fame and fortune and live. A man can undergo severe pain and sickness and still live. Yet when death comes, we see, for the most part, a terrible agony, cruel and relentless in its unconditional victory over life. Why is death so cruel? Because the soul has to separate itself from the body. The body and soul were created for each other. So intimate is their union that parting them seems impossible. Throughout life, they were inseparable. The soul fears the future. Where will it go? The body will decay and be the food for worms when the soul departs. Think about it. Who or what causes this separation? Body and soul that wish to remain together. Who causes it? St. Cyril of Alexandria, at Jerusalem, relating a story of a man raised from the dead, said, the moment when my soul left my body was one of such awful pain and distress that no one can imagine the anguish I endured. If all conceivable suffering and pain were put together, they would be as nothing in comparison with the torture I underwent at the separation of soul and body. Think about it. How little we know about the supernatural soul, God, eternity. So it is with everything that has not corporeal shape. Our understanding cannot grasp these things. In like manner, it is impossible for thee to understand how I could suffer such agony in one short time. Some souls do die peacefully. Why? Possibly nature has been exhausted by suffering that the person can't struggle anymore. Even Jesus Christ suffered the pangs of death. Even after all his suffering, he cried out with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. No part of his passion did he suffer so acutely as at death. St. Gregory the Great tells us, Jesus wanted us to be, to experience a little in our own death what he experienced so greatly in his death. Quote St. Gregory, Christ's conflict with death represented our last conflict, teaching us that the agony of death is the keenest agony that man has ever felt or will ever feel. It is the will of God that man should suffer so intensely at the close of his life in order that we may recognize and appreciate the magnitude of Christ's love for us, the inestimable benefit he has conferred on us by enduring death for our sakes. For it would have been impossible for man fully to know the infinite love of God unless he too had drunk to some extent the bitter chalice which Christ drank, end quote, St. Gregory the Great. How great a price with his death did Jesus pay for to ransom us. How severe a conflict is before us, poor souls. How paradise is to be won by death. How narrow is the gate. St. Alphonsus Liguori tells us to accept our death as God wills it for us, to give him honor and glory. Then we will die like the martyrs and go right to heaven. Die a martyr's death. But can we do this? Yes, with God's grace. But we need to pray for this grace. Prayer. In honor, therefore, of his bitter passion and death, I now cheerfully subject myself to whatever sufferings I may be called upon to pass through at the moment of death. Chapter 2, The Assaults of Satan. Although death is bitter, it will be compounded by vivid remembrance of our sins, by the thoughts of judgment to come, of eternity before us, by the assaults of Satan. Why does God permit Satan to assault us at death? Not for our perdition, but for our probation. We still must prove that we choose God above all things. This is Satan's last chance, and he will bring all his forces to carry the soul to hell. All during our life he assaulted us. Now he is relentless, like a roaring lion. Revelation 12:12 tells us, Woe to the earth and to the sea, because the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, knowing that he has but a short time. Revelation, Apocalypse 12:12. St. Gregory the Great tells us how Satan will try to make us despair over all our sins. Hear what St. Gregory the Great says. Consider well how terrible is the hour of death, and how appalling the remembrance of our evil deeds will be at that time. For the spirits of darkness will recall all the harm they have done us, and remind us of the sins which we have committed at their instigation. They will not go to death, to the deathbed of good godless only, but they will be present with the elect, striving to discover something sinful whereof to accuse them. Alas, how will it fare with us hapless mortals in that hour? And what can we say for ourselves, seeing how innumerable are the sins to be laid to our charge? What can we answer to our adversaries when they place all our sins before us with the object of reducing us to despair? The devil will recall all the soul's sins, his hatreds, all those objects and persons, his sins of impurity, especially with his accomplices, his doubts, especially about faith, his fears, especially his despair. The devils will appeal to all his impatiences by making his illness appear more irksome than it is. If one is apathetic, they will make him feel too weak to pray. The devil will attack all at their very weakness. Like a skillful general, the devil will attack us at our weakest point. The devil will again tempt the soul with sins which he committed in life. Unless the dying man has, previous to his last illness, armed himself against these attacks and accustomed himself to battle with his spiritual adversaries, he stands a poor chance of prevailing against them at the moment of death. If he does so, it will only be through the assistance of Almighty God, of our Blessed Lady, of his guardian angel, or of one of the saints. For our merciful God and his angels and blessed saints do not abandon the Christian in the hour of his direst need. They hasten to his help, that is, provided he is deserving of their aid. End quote. In order to prepare one's self before one's last illness to combat these temptations, it will be advisable to recite with due devotion the following prayer. O Jesus, I know that in my strength I cannot contend against so powerful a foe. I must assuredly be vanquished unless thou and thy holy mother, Mary, with thy angels and saints, assist me. Chapter 3. Apparition of evil spirits to the dying. It is the opinion of many of the fathers of the church that everyone sees the evil enemy at the moment death approaches. Brother Giles saw the devil and lost the power of speech. He thought his hour had come. He prayed and the apparition vanished. Later he spoke to St. Francis and asked if he had ever seen anything so terrible, so horrible, that you thought it would kill you. St. Francis replied, I have indeed seen such a thing. It is none other than the devil, whose aspect is so loathsome that no one could gaze upon it even for a short time and live, unless God specially enabled him to do so. A story of St. Cyril to St. Augustine. St. Cyril, also writing to St. Augustine, says that one of the three men who were raised from the dead told him, At the hour of my departure drew near, a multitude of devils, countless in number, came and stood by me. Their forms were more horrible than anything imagination can conceive. One would rather be burnt in the fire than be compelled to look upon them. These demons ranged themselves around me and reproached me with all the misdeeds I had ever done, thinking to drive me to despair. And in fact, I should have given way before them had not God in his mercy come to my succor. End quote. St. Cyril to St. Augustine. These personal experiences remind us how frightful the devil really is. Oh my God, how overwhelming will be the terrors at the end of my life. Holy Mary, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of my death. Amen. Chapter 4, Fear of Hell. Death is rendered more bitter when as death approaches, we fear being lost in hell for all eternity because of our many mortal sins. St. Gregory the Great reminds us that no one can be certain that he is free of guilt. Quote, St. Gregory, the just man who is truly concerned about his eternal salvation will from time to time think of his future judge. He will meditate before death overtakes him upon the account he will have to give of his life. If there are no great sins wherewith his conscience reproaches him, he still has cause for alarm on account of the daily sins of which he perhaps takes little heed. For how often do we not sin in thought? It is comparatively easy to avoid evil deeds, but it is a far more difficult matter to keep one's heart free from inordinate thoughts. Yet we read in Holy Scripture, "Woe to you that devise that which is unprofitable and work evil in your thoughts." Micaeus 2:1. And again, in your heart you work iniquities. Psalm 57:3. Hence the just are ever in fear of the awful judgments of God, for they are conscious that all these secret sins will be brought to judgment, as St. Paul says, In that day, God shall judge the secrets of men. And although all his life long a good man will walk in fear of the judgment, yet this fear will notably increase as he draws near to the end of his days. It is said of our Lord that when the time of his death approached, he began to be sorrowful and to fear, and being in agony, he prayed the longer. Was not this intended to teach us how it would be with us in our latter end, and what distress and anguish would overwhelm us? End quote, St. Gregory.